This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Once again, it is the Foxes' takeover, the fan takeover at a prime time. And you can have your say this evening. Get on the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can put a question to Lee, put a question to me. For the next 30 minutes, we want your Foxes' views. Love Sport Radio giving you the voice, the fans a voice. Well, it is the Leicester City Fan Show. Not the greatest result on the weekend, or maybe in the League Cup. Where did it all go wrong? After beating Southampton, thumping them 9-0, a revenge game of sorts, they got that revenge. It was 3 points for the Saints, and Leicester were at home. But the man to talk us through it now, I've already alluded to him being on, as he is the Leicester City Fan Show himself. It is the brilliant Lee Chappie. Lee, thank you once again for joining us tonight. Wasn't to be for your side on the weekend, and it was also the first time that Brendan Rodgers has consecutively lost home games as Leicester City manager. Are we seeing any cracks? What is going wrong and what happened on Saturday?
Quick run through. Liverpool, I think, have stumped us a little bit. Shown a lot of weakness in the middle for us. And the teams that are now coming down to King Power are pressing us and pressurising that middle. Now, without Wilfred Ndidi, for 4 to 6 weeks,
big miss.
We're going to struggle, I think. I think we're going to struggle. However, we're a young squad. There's no pressure. Let's just take it as it comes.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned Ndidi, and we know how important he is to keeping that side ticking over. Anytime you lose a player of that quality, and just sort of the underrated work that goes on that he does to the team, just the work, you know, sweeping it all up and keeping it moving along, it's vital to Leicester. But are you sort of saying there, you know, the high press that Southampton forced you into on that day, you know, is there a little bit of a blueprint to beating the Foxes then?
Well, yeah, because look at this. So we played with two holding midfielders. Dennis Pratt, technically holding midfielder, and Wilfred Ndidi. Hamza Chowdhury, sorry. And I don't think Hamza's as good as Wilfred Ndidi. Okay, he's fabulous, fantastic player, but I don't think he's quite the level of Ndidi. And I think we rely too much on Hamza to cover what Ndidi's, you know, capable of. Now, that start of that fixture, before they even kicked off, when they were warming up, Leicester did something I've never seen them do before. They bragged on the big screens those 9 goals going in with all
really?
The commentary as well. Yeah. That surely fired Southampton up. It would fire me up. And they looked fired up because when that whistle went, it was just bang, 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 Southampton. They just wanted it. I think they wanted to erase that, you know, that 9-0 win down there and come down here and get 3 points and shut us up. And they did.
Yeah, no two games in a season are ever the same, you know. It's easy to go, oh, well, we beat them 9-0, we're expecting another win, we're expecting the 3 points. Now, I know you're Mr. Positive, but you wasn't giving Saints that disrespect, as neither was Chris Foran. You said, look, it's going to be a tough game. Saints have actually had an upturn in form since that 9-0. But do you reckon the Saints, they were very quick and clear to say, this is not a revenge game for us. But, you know, obviously they had an extra spring in their step. They just felt like they wanted it more on the weekend.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, you could tell they wanted it all day long. I mean, how many times did they hit the bar? Two, three?
Twice in 60 seconds with Ings.
Exactly. So they could have took 4-1, 4-2, potentially with the VAR ruled out for us.
But Lee, we don't want to
say it was a...
Go on, sorry, Lee. No, I was going to say, we don't want to go, obviously, you know, we don't want to get too high when it is going well. And we don't want to get too low and be like, where's this form coming from? They lost on a weekend. Look, it's one game. This is the Premier League. We're not saying that cracks are starting to show. But is there a little bit of a worry that perhaps maybe there shouldn't be a complacency in this side? Yes, it's a better season than we all expected and we're absolutely enjoying this ride at the minute. But, you know, you still have to fight every game, every 90 minutes. And, you know, nothing's won yet. No top fours guaranteed yet. No cup. Yet, you know, they still need to keep their eyes on the prize, as maybe they wasn't on the weekend.
They do, you're right. There was many midweek games, and at the end of the day, the lads are lads. They're under the age of 25. Most of that squad under the age of 25. Most are 23. So it's a very young squad. A lot of learning still to go.
A lot of learning for that young side. Brendan Rodgers, I'm not sure if I agree with, because I love Rodgers. I love what Leicester are doing this year. But he mentioned afterwards that maybe the schedules played a part. I'm not sure, because Leicester, not in, I know you're obviously agreeing there, Lee, saying, yeah, but Leicester weren't in Europe this year, you know. Every team, their schedule over Christmas, that's famous for the English leagues, you know. We play on Boxing Day, we play on New Year's Day, we don't have that winter break of sorts. It's not like they was at a disadvantage. I know it's been 9 games since maybe the middle of December, but this is the same for everyone else, isn't it? You know, he's moaning about a little bit of tired legs, but everyone, every squad has to deal with this, this rotation over that busy festive period.
Well, yeah, I mean, the results haven't been that bad. Come on. I mean, Man City beat us 3-1. Liverpool beat us 4-0. But you take them away, we beat West Ham, we beat Newcastle, we beat Wigan, we drew against Villa, which we should have won. We should have put those chances away. We had too many chances. But, you know, we go to Villa Park and I reckon we can beat them there.
Yeah,
we already did that, and I think we can do it again.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because obviously since we last spoke, it wasn't just the fact that the Foxes play Saints. You were in action that League Cup semi-final, the first leg at home. The game was played in the pouring rain. We spoke about that. Villa actually played quite well, you know. I know you're saying Leicester should have won the game, but Villa fans, they felt that they were value for a point. It's going to be a tricky one, because I know you've already won at Villa Park this season, but you go there, they're going to be up for it, and it's both all at stake for this team, you know. It's not like maybe the City United game where we could say City have one leg in the final. Leicester and Villa, equally good chance here. Villa at home, they're going to be up for this and fancy themselves.
Yeah, they will. They played well down here. They defended well. I know that. Tyrone Mings, my word, what a game he had. Fantastic player. But Leicester had, what, 70% ball possession to 30. We had 687 passes to their 300, over double. We had nearly 1,000 touches. It was 899, I think. To their 470-something. I'm not saying, you know, that we completely bossed them, because obviously we didn't score 10 goals, but we had the chances and we should have put them away.
Should have put them away. Obviously they didn't. Is just back on that, you know, you are planning that cut. We said Rodgers alluded to maybe some tired legs. Is there a worry that the squad doesn't have as much depth, and we are in this January transfer window? Is there a worry that maybe he's not potentially rotating as enough and, you know, keeping them fresh? Although he has changed it, you know, in the FA Cup of sorts and the League Cup at the earliest stages, there was that sign of rotation. Even arguably, it wasn't the strongest team you put out against West Ham, and you absolutely battered them, and that's what decided for them to sack Pellegrini.
Leicester, the famous club that gets managers sacked. but going to the squad depth, we're not the biggest, is it? It's not. You've got James Justin, who's only just really come in to the squad playing first team football, and he's a young lad. Who else have we got up top, for instance?
Yeah,
apart from Clichy and Nacho.
Could we see any additions then? Because, Lee, I know you're always saying Madison's going nowhere, Rodgers is going nowhere. Weirdly, I don't know if this is started as a joke on social media, and you know how things can spread like wildfire. Harry Kane is injured, and there's been a few rumours that maybe Spurs may look to get in on Vardy to help them have a push and join them down here. I mean, I can't see that happening. Can you? Is this all a little bit of fun between the fans?
No, it's a bit of fun between the fans. And clickbait for articles.
Yeah, I love that clickbait. Keeps us going here, Lee. Stuff for us to talk about. Let's quickly talk and keep it on Vardy then. Brilliant link-up play with Perez on the weekend, obviously, for Leicester to take that lead. A lot of the games now, they've scored that opening goal. They always do seemingly score that first goal in games. But not just the Spurs connection with Vardy at the minute. Vardy seeming, obviously, being in the news because Euro 20 is on the horizons. Should he get that England call-up? Would he want that England call-up? Is Southgate looking at him? Should he be trying to lure him back into the side? You know, he's a clinical finisher, a born finisher, knows where that goal is. What do you make of it personally? Do you want him to call up, or you're like, no, let's keep him fit for Leicester? It's a tricky one, but would you want to see him back in that free line side?
It depends if he got used properly. I mean, why travel all that way? Get involved with the training camps, you know, affecting your own personal life, of taking more time out. He's only just had a little in again. To potentially be either benched, play that position, push straight in. I don't know. I can't see him doing it, but he did put himself out there if he's needed.
Well, that's the thing. You never really want to close the door. Beckham never wanted to close the door. I know it's a bit of a different comparison, but he said you can't ever close the door on your national side. And players have done this in the past. We've seen famous players retiring, then being lured back. And if it's just, you know, he doesn't have to go through that rigorous flying over to other countries in a qualifying, we're already qualified. It's just one tournament, one summer. And, you know, look, Kane's not fully firing, not 100%. And he's going to come in and do a job. And everyone's saying this is a chance to maybe come back after winning the Premier League, when who would have thought that, maybe? 10 years ago where Vardy was in his career, now potentially winning a European Championships with England. I mean, it's quite the sort of dangling carrot at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if he does get a chance of England, I think obviously it's got to be his very last tournament, surely.
Yeah,
he's 17 goals in the Prem. He's England's best striker.
Yeah,
he's got to be.
Better than Kane, England's best striker.
Right now, he's got to be.
Oof.
Lee, he's got to be right now.
Well, no, and that's what I mean. On this form, no one can deny it. And maybe that's why Southgate, maybe that conversation will be happening sooner rather than later. And if it is happening, Lee, you know, me and you are going to be across it. We're going to be doing a look at your game on the weekend. It is Burnley in the second half of this show. But, you know, I can't let you go without getting a prediction from you, because you'll text me otherwise if not. So I've got to have your say on it. Quickly, Burnley, what are you thinking of it? It's no, obviously, they're struggling at the minute, sliding down towards that relegation zone. They haven't beaten any side in the top half, so the odds are in Leicester's favour. May the odds ever be in your favour, but what are you making of it?
You know what? They've not won one since, what, before Christmas?
Yeah.
So, Leicester beat them 2-1
Four defeats on the spin for them.
Yeah, and Leicester beat them 2-1, I think, home and away in the last fixtures, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go for another 2-1.
Another 2-1, Lee. I wasn't expecting anything less. I'm glad you went that way. Either way, we'll be here at the same time on the Leicester City Fan Show. And you can hear Lee and all what his take is on the Foxes, as you can have your say as well. Put a question to Lee. Put a question to the team. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. But there is still so much more to come on the Leicester City Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we were just joined by Lee Chappie from Leicester Fan TV, and check out for Lee's videos on his YouTube channel. Always good to see their content, and a new one is dropping later tonight after this show. And one guest, well, it's never enough on this show. And now we go to the man who also plays a massive part on this show. It is the Leicester fan himself. It is Chris Forian from Leicester Till I Die podcast. Chris, always good to speak to you once a week and get the take on your team in a minute. The Fox is disappointing on the weekend, but we just heard from Lee about it. I want to take it back a little bit further with you. What did you make of that League Cup semi-final first leg at home to Villa? A lot of people are expecting Villa maybe not to play a full strength side, Leicester to roll them over. Just wasn't the case. What did you make of it?
Hi, good afternoon, good evening. I think, as I was just saying before, it's a bit with football fans, you get a bit of a success and you expect to sort of win every week. You know, we were second. Well, you know, we were in a cup semi-final, we were playing Aston Villa, we were at home, they were fighting relegation. You know, on paper, as I always say, you know, we should have won, but these games are never won on paper. And they were up for it more than we were, I think, on the night. You know, I think we could still be playing now and we wouldn't have got another goal. It was disappointing. I'm glad it's two legs. It is only half-time. And in a lot of ways, we've actually been playing better recently away from home than we have at home.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because obviously consecutive Premier League home games now, Leicester have lost. And it's normally, and it has been a fortress for Brendan Rodgers since he arrived. Only before that, it was one league defeat at home. Now that two on the bounce, and it's kind of, it changed all of a sudden. You know, we don't want to be dramatic about it, but at the minute, just a little, you know, crack appearing to show.
Yeah, I think we are having the wobble that I think every team kind of gets, yeah. Unless you're Liverpool at the moment. But I mean, every team gets it. We seem to be going through ours at the moment. Had you given me, if you'd have said to me, come on the 14th of January, you'd have been sat third in the table, second leg of a semi-final, still in the FA Cup, technically the treble's still on, we'd have bitten your hands off, you know what I mean? But because we'd had such a good start, you have those good results, you have those success, and you suddenly, in your mind, as fans of not the big six, if you like, you suddenly think you're invincible.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I don't want to sound harsh because these are two players that I've absolutely loved this year, Choudhury and Soyuncu. But maybe on the day, you know, and this happens when the team's not performing well, and it's always good when it happens at the same time, but they had a couple of little lapses in concentration. They've been performing so well, and it just felt like all over, you know, the team wasn't really at the races.
We played a lot of games in December, and so did every other team, don't get me wrong. You know, we're no different. And, you know, I'm old enough to sort of say I remember when we played twice a week on mud patches with leather balls and all that. But we did play a lot of games. We've not necessarily got the biggest squad in the league. And I think there was some tired legs out there.
Yeah, and Brendan Rodgers said that, didn't he? Tired legs. And that was a theme of the first half of this show tonight. But Leicester look in a great position, you know, to get back to European football. Champions League, you know, it's looking likely next year. Maybe even Europa League. Who knows? Europe this year, a great season under Brendan Rodgers. Potentially maybe some domestic silverware as well. If we're worried about tired legs now, and it has been a lot of games, and, you know, you always get a lull in a team. If they need to add to it now, and maybe Champions League next year, even more games, they need some additions, Chris. Maybe could we see it this window? But he's going to have to add to this squad, isn't he?
He's going to have to add to the squad. I think we saw that when we were sort of last in the Champions League under Claudio Ranieri. We're going great in the Champions League, but we hadn't got that depth of squad, and we struggled in the league, you know, that following season.
Yes.
We're very lucky at Leicester. We've got a very good, you know, youth system. You know, you look at the players that have come through there, the Chilwells, the Choudhurys, the Barnes. We've got those players to come in, but obviously we're going to want some more experience. I mean, there's talk in the online today about Luke Shaw possibly coming in and giving a sort of extra backup in the defence.
Is that a player that you could, obviously, at United, obviously a good player. You was in England set up. It's not really fully worked out for him 100% at Man United. And to even now saying you could be signing a United player and he's just a backup, obviously, to Ben Chilwell. Is that the position in a player that Leicester need right now, though?
I think you've got to look at our sort of left-back position. We've got Chilwell, who is excellent going forward. He can be questionable going back, but he's England's left-back, so you've got to say he's doing something right. Christian Fuchs, amazing player, one of the, you know, league-winning team, love him forever, but, you know, he stayed an extra year than he said he was. He could possibly go at the end of the season. He's not getting any younger. We do need somebody in that position, and you don't know, sort of looking forward, I don't think Chilwell's going to leave in January. He could be leaving in the summer. So, yeah, get a replacement in now, like we did with John Shu. Get a replacement in early. Get them used to the team. Get them used to the philosophy. And just because a player goes, I mean, you know, if you look at Luke Shaw, I think he was from Southampton, wasn't it? He went. Great at Southampton. Doesn't mean he's going to be brilliant at the next team he moves to. And you go to these big teams, and sometimes, like Maguire, you can struggle to start with. You can struggle to fit in. Your form can struggle because the expectations are so high. So as he's struggling there, he could come to Leicester and be absolutely brilliant for us.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. Who knows how things play out, not just in football, but in sport. And it is really interesting. Yeah. Chris, obviously, we know the highs of Leicester. They won the Premier League. Then they were in the Champions League. Then they sort of took a step backwards. You know, they had a sort of not a great spell under Puel. And now they're sort of going back to where they were the few years before that with Rodgers, heading back into the Champions League. But they don't want to, you know, it's not a bad place to be when you're yo-yoing between Europe, just that side, and Europe. It could be a lot worse. Yo-yoing from the Premier League to the Championship. But how do they sort of get there and stay there? Because it is about squad building. You don't want to take that next step back. It is about sustainability, isn't it?
It is, and it's not just about going and just buying for the sake of buying. And I think sort of we learned that with Ranieri, and the owners, if anything, if nothing else, they do learn from their mistakes. Mm. And I think sort of if you look at Ranieri, Ranieri's history, wherever he's gone in, he's done very well for the first couple of seasons, and then he struggled. And when he went in, and obviously the miracle that he performed with basically what was Nigel Pearson's squad, he then struggled when he went out and bought the players. Because that togetherness, that band of brothers that we had at Leicester, you got these big name signings coming in, and it just didn't work. And I think that's what Rodgers has got. Rodgers has got the experience. He knows who to bring in, but he won't be bringing people in just because of the name.
Yeah, and I think what else Rodgers has got in that team and in that squad is the cohesiveness. And, you know, they're really fighting for each other. A band of brothers almost. The team morale and team spirit looks absolutely fantastic. Win, lose and draw. And I think that's, for any football team, really, that's what fans get behind. They get behind that identity. And just on that Saints game, Chris, we know that you're always, you never get too high. You're just very respectful of every side. And it wasn't to be on the weekend. Obviously, you hope for a Leicester 3 points every weekend. But just when that game started, was there a little nerves, especially, you know, when Saints got the equaliser and you thought, oh, here we go. I knew it wasn't going to be a 9-0. Did you think Leicester will push on, or did you think this is going to be Saints' day? This, I can see this coming.
I think if you were sort of watching, listening, however you were sort of following the game, again, you could see that it just wasn't happening for us. They had a point to prove. You know, it was never ever, we were never going to sort of go for another 8-9, 10-0 again. That was a one-off, if you like. You know, it was on the night, it happened. They had a point to prove, and I think they just wanted it that little bit more than we did.
Yeah, it's a worry that Saints was up for it. Obviously, that result playing on their minds and their fans' minds, obviously. But it's Burnley on the weekend. 4 defeats on the spin for the Clarets. But again, just like the Saints, this won't be an easy fixture. This won't, you know, there is no gimme fixture in the Premier League. They need to pick up points soon, Burnley, because they're on a worrying slide. Maybe they'll take confidence from that Saints win. What are you predicting in this one, Chris? How will the game play out, firstly?
They might. I think you're going to see a different Leicester. I hope you are, anyway, let's be honest. But I think this is the first time for quite a while we've had no midweek game. Yeah. You know, for the first time the players have had a break, they've had a week, you know, they can get their energy back. It indeed is a big loss. And I think, you know, you look at when we don't have an Ndidi in the team, it's like, you know, when we didn't have Kante. He is a huge, huge loss. And Chowdhury didn't sort of have the best game, who is, I would probably say, is the natural successor to Ndidi. But I think you're going to see a different Leicester. I think we're away from home. The pressure's not quite on us as much. The pressure's on Burnley, I think, they need the win. They definitely need the win, and they're at home. And I think it's going to be, I think they'll sneak one, because we have got a habit of letting the odd one in now and again. But I'm going to go for a 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1 for Leicester, just what they need. But it's a weird one. When you say pressure's on Burnley, do they think pressure's off? Everyone expects us to get beat with the 4 defeats on the spin. And, you know, maybe this helps us. And actually, we take confidence from that Leicester win. And Leicester maybe going, look, we don't want a second defeat on the bounce. And maybe the pressure actually is at the foot of the Foxes.
Now, I lived in Burnley for sort of 20 years, so it was a bit of the one game that I don't want to lose.
this is the one you look forward to, when the fixtures are released.
This is the one when my Facebook goes mad with, you know, who wins. I either come off it for 2 days or I'm absolutely messaging everybody.
Right,
for
if we days. Don't hear from you on next week's show, then we know why, yeah? Is that the heads up?
I'm going to hide it. But no, the Burnley fans are great. They get behind the team. But they are sort of, like I say, they are on a bit of a bad run. Yes, of course, as fans, you take anything you can. You look at the fact that, you know, Leicester have had the couple of results that they've had, and they'll be taking that as sort of a bit of a bonus, a fillip to take into the game, if you like. But I still think we're going to have too much for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, either way, as we always are, Chris, I'll know if you've got the 3 points, because you'll be joining me next week. If not, we'll have to get on a super sub of sorts. But Chris Forian there, joining us on the Leicester City Fan Show. Please check out Chris at the Leicester Till I Die podcast for extra content and to give your Foxes views, as you can, on all shows, on all fan shows on Love Sport Radio. You just tweet us at Love Sport Radio, or you call us 0208 7020 558. But until then, join us next week on the Leicester City Fan Show.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio. so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.